Today I don't feel like doing anything. I just wanna lay in my bed.
And hello, it's the Football Sack Podcast. We don't really feel like doing much today. We're lazing around in the radio studio.
It's a very, very rainy, dour day in Sydney at the moment, isn't it?
It is. To celebrate it being a Sunday, we've listened to the people, haven't we, boys? Last week, we put out a call. We said, what are we going to call this show? Because the Friday show, they've taken that name, so we don't want to call it the Sunday show. But we do record on a Sunday, on a very lazy day. And we thought, we'll just ask the audience what we want to be called. We can't be bothered naming our show. So you guys have come up with, and we've listened to you, we're going to name the show The Sack on Sunday.
It has a really nice ring to it, doesn't it? And I really feel like we should have some poached eggs in front of us and some coffee and some, you know, maybe a juice.
What are we saying, Michael? We have had bagels and coffee this morning and we are just lazing around ready to record the podcast. So here we go. Good morning to you, Pete. You're there busy.
Good morning. Yeah.
Being a bit less busy than we are.
Yeah, exactly.
More busy, rather.
Yeah, you guys have the lazy morning. I'm stuck doing the desk again. So that's all right.
No, we appreciate the work that Pete does every morning. You know, when we sign off and we say goodbye, Pete's here cutting it together and putting it up on the web. So, you know, he does the work behind us. We just have the golden tonsils, I think.
That is definitely the case. Right, the Socceroos, they played against Wales. The Friday show have talked about this, but we thought we'd get our two bob in as well.
Yeah, well, two bobs and two goals. It wasn't a bad performance in Cardiff. You know, we had a Socceroos side that is ranked number 23. We had a Welsh side that is ranked 112. And it showed for vast periods of that game. We had a goal either side of halftime and... Pretty assured performance, aside from that one defensive slip-up, which has really been the theme of the off-season for Australian sides, hasn't it?
Of the last few months, hasn't it, that Australian teams of on all levels have just decided to let their defence slip a bit in preference for their attacking.
Yeah, and I think, look, Holger won't be asleep to that fact, and he wants to make this, you know, back four watertight. We had Matthew Spranovic and Lucas Neal playing together for the first time in a while. Lucas Neal, obviously, without a club at the moment, but has been training in Milan by himself.
He's taking after us and being a bit lazy as well.
I think he has been. He's been in the main square of Milan having a few ristrettos and...
listening to the Sunday Sack.
Yeah, listening to the Sunday Sack.
No, the Sack on Sunday.
The Sack on Sunday. Well, yes, we need to correct
ourselves.
Well,
that was the other option. The Sunday Sack was one option. I think they're interchangeable. The Sack on Sunday, Sunday Sack.
Yeah, well, I think Lucas Neal and whoever his partner is will be interchangeable as well. We've got Sasha Roganovsky, who's been really the form new Socceroos. We've also had Matt McKay, who's playing very, very well as well.
At the other end of the park.
Yeah, that's right. And Matt McKay was central to the second goal. To the first goal. So the first goal, we swung it wide. The cross came in, and who was there? Timmy on the spot.
Timmy.
Yeah, it was a beautiful volley and something we've come to expect.
Another beautiful shot was Luke Wilkshire's that hit the post. How many times did Australia hit the post in that match?
Oh, plenty of times. It was something that was really a hallmark of the Welsh performance, perhaps is the poor goalkeeping performance, I thought. Mm-hmm. Certainly the second goal was a goalkeeping blunder. It was a save from close range, but it really just popped it up in front for Robbie Cruz to hit home.
Am I naive in asking where was Ryan Giggs?
Ryan Giggs has not played for Wales for a while. He retired from them so that he could focus on being a Premier League player exclusively. There's not a lot to play for if you're a Welsh person. they haven't made the World Cup in a very, very long time.
Surely playing against Australia is, you know, the pinnacle of Welsh football.
Well, look, there's a lot of cultural synergies between the two nations. And for some, like Rhys Williams, it was an interesting match because he's got the dual heritage. And there are a lot of other Australians who are, maybe expats in England and of Welsh descent who went to that game with a bit of split loyalties as well.
Yeah, and about 10,000 went and watched that game. Mm. Great to see. Right, next up. You might be able to tell that we are having a good old sit and a good old relax on this show.
I'm going to post a picture of Matt Greenlaw's stance right now. He's got two office chairs which he's lying on, and he's got a light which is above his head, and he's leaning up against the wall of the studio, and the microphone sort of yanked right in front of his head, so he really doesn't have to turn or do anything.
One man who you would expect would be lazy also, Clive Palmer. But he's not. He's having a think about the stadium deal that he's got at the moment. It's a very expensive deal, playing at Skilled Park. And he's considering building his own one.
Yeah, well, it's an interesting one. As I always say about every single topic we seem to raise, it's interesting. It's the Michael Rochek drinking game.
Don't worry, I edit that out.
Yeah, good. It's one that has probably been coming for a long time. I think that Clive Palmer is somebody who knows how to drive a bargain, and I think this might be what he's doing. He may not build that stadium. He may just be driving for a better bargain. We don't know. He does have the dosh to just decide to build a new stadium or to adapt an existing one and make it to A-League standards. And it's something that Brendan Schwab has pushed for repeatedly, is the boutique-sized stadium, which houses a good size and a number of fans and close to the action.
Yeah, 12 to 15,000 would be a good size for Gold Coast United, giving them a bit of room to grow, I guess, and not limiting to the 5,000 that Clive Palmer does at the moment at Skilled Park with his crowd cap. Mm. All right. Switzer, interesting comments that he's brought up via Twitter, two via the article in Football Plus.
That's right. Mark Switzer, he's new to the Twitter phenomenon, so part of this might be that he's not really
aware that this everything he says is public.
Yeah,
he reached his limit, his daily limit, a couple of times, and the Football Sack Twitter account has only done that on the grand final.
Yeah, yeah.
So he said a few things,
and that was not a fun day for me. Freaking out, and it's got to penalties. I'm like, oh my god, I've reached the limit. So
I think I went through and started deleting.
Yes, and I do thank you very much for that.
Yeah,
hopefully it won't happen again.
Well, yeah, I mean, Switzer did say that the A-League is a step down, and that's stepping, you know, not really stepping over the line. It's really stating the obvious. It's a fledgling league. Its standard is improving, and it's getting better every year, and the number of players that we are promoting to other leagues is increasing every year too. But,
to use that analogy of stepping, he's putting his foot in it by saying that, though, isn't he? I mean, it's an obvious statement. But by saying that it's a step down, immediately giving fuel to the naysayers of the A-League.
Yeah, and numerous and powerful they are. And that's what a lot of A-League fans were disappointed in. Obviously, we hope, and it leads nicely into the John Aloisi question, which Mark Switzer raised, we hope that Mark Switzer doesn't face a backlash after this, an unrealistic backlash and an unfair backlash. I mean, he's been our best goalkeeper for a number of years. He's our most capped Socceroo.
Yeah, I don't think he will.
Yeah,
backlash, because
this is what I thought. Switzer did say that he, one of the reasons he won't come back to the A-League is that John Aloisi was treated badly, and I think John Aloisi came back with every thought that he would be welcomed home. You know. And
he
Switzer,
was yeah. he was welcomed home quite well. Central Coast Mariners when he first came on the. Is it not the marquee? It's the guest stint. He came for a guest stint with the Mariners, and he performed stunningly. He scored some great goals, and then he came to Sydney, obviously on an even bigger deal for that next season, for an entire two seasons, and he underperformed. And that there's this big expectation there that he would snock in the goals that he had done at Mariners and at all these clubs previously that he'd done so in Europe.
Mm. And look, certainly he's a player that has. He's played in the top three leagues of Europe. He's the first Australian to do that. He's played at the Bernabeu and the Camp Nou and Old Trafford and Stamford Bridge and at the San Siro and at the Olympic Stadium in Rome. And look, he's certainly been a journeyman and he's certainly been a successful striker, but he's never had a season where he's been the top scorer in any of those leagues.
Yeah, and then he comes back
to the A-League and everyone, you know, has seen Johnny kick us into the World Cup finals in 2006. The weight of expectation was on his shoulders, and he had a quiet season and an injury riddled season that first season, and you know, it's not unlike football players to have those moments, and all of a sudden it seemed as though the whole of Sydney united against John Aloisi.
And they did, for not all of Sydney. There was plenty of supporters still there, but a lot of them did. Yeah, they booed him.
Yes, and it's very strong. Very strong response and not proportionate to what had actually occurred. And even following you know, the next season, famous as it was, when Sydney won the double. First time that Sydney had done that. It was an excellent, excellent performance, and down in no small part to John Aloisi.
Definitely, and that's when the Sydney fans turned around and they supported
him.
Yeah,
but I'm not sure they did turn around as much as they still. And when he went to the Heart, it all the boo boys came back, and it was just very disappointing for mine.
We will have to move on from this subject that we've already talked about extensively on the Beyond the 90 pod radio show that we've just finished up. And if you want to catch up on some more of the John Aloisi talk / Mark Swartzer chat, jump on to beyondthe90.com and download that podcast.
I'm just putting this in. I think you kind of took my segment.
I was about to say that.
Next time you're going to start arguing, I'm just going to start playing.
Obviously, this is the segment from last week where Pete went supernova. I pretty much went supernova. I went a bit bombastic on Beyond the 90, and I stand by the fact that Johnny was very hard done by when he came back to Sydney. That's my view. And
my view is that there was
times.
A reason for that, and that when he did start performing again, they jumped back on board. Pete, does this mean, this is the Lazy podcast.
Yes.
Does this mean that you don't have a Pete Goes Supernova segment to fill up some time?
Well, not really, to be honest. Well,
hang on, you have a think. We've still got some time. You have a think during the show, and if we come back to you, we might be able to bring in a segment for us to have a little bit of a drink, a little bit of a relax, and you can do your Pico Supernova.
Perhaps we can talk about Harry Kuehl, something that's quite similar to Mark Schwartzer.
No more Harry Kuehl.
We've talked about Harry Kuehl every single podcast for the last 6 weeks. I'm pretty sure we have.
I suggested to the boys that we put in a ban on talking about Harry Kuehl. They've obviously gone over my head and just continue to want to talk about Kuehl. Go for it, Michael.
All right.
It's all yours.
Look, last week we talked about how Harry was about to sign a deal on Monday with the Melbourne Victory. We've subsequently found out on the Monday that Richard Hines wrote an excellent article, somebody who's in the past been a little bit flippant with his soccer reportage. But he wrote an excellent article, which sources have been corroborated on, which says that Harry has signed an in-principle agreement with the Melbourne Victory to sign on after he sorted out a bunch of sponsorship arrangements. Now, the reason being is that the FFA are quite tight on what players who are under contract with them can do, and to sign deals after that date would there be salary cap issues.
Michael, I'm gonna get your professional opinion on this because
I'm worried now.
In your other life, you are a bit of a lawman.
Yes, I talk the law.
You do like the law.
Employment law specifically.
Run us through a bit of the details on this because there might be some loopholes there, some issues in terms of the law.
I mean, look. The story has been that Harry, you know, once he signs a contract with a club, he's actually, it's all very central. It's the FFA. The FFA have rules. He can't breach those rules. Otherwise, there are questions about, you know, his arrangements. And he's essentially what's happened is, and also Pete talked about how Dirk Melton at Sydney FC has been doing the same thing behind the scenes. We're not confirming that at this stage. But what Harry has done is signed an in-principle arrangement. What's sometimes referred to as a heads of agreement in a commercial negotiation, but in an employment situation, it's a pre-contractual agreement.
Sounds lawsy.
Yeah. And basically, he's signed something to say that once all these deals have been done, he will sign on the dotted line in an employment sense. And so that's what Richard Hines has said, and that's what a few other people around the traps have corroborated to us. And there's been a little bit of interesting rancor coming out of Bernie Mandich, and a lot comes out of Bernie Mandich that probably looks brown and smells like that too. But he's talked about how Harry's such a good bloke for not signing a $4 million deal in the UAE, that they're the lowest taxed country, and that they would mean that in a net figure he would get much more than any other country on earth, and how good a bloke Harry Kuehl is for not doing that.
Feels like he's backtracking a bit. He's trying to hedge his bets and
Yeah, but I think it's also a bit of a PR battle as well. I mean, the last thing Harry wants to do is, when he signs, and I do believe he will, the last thing we want everyone to do, especially from some of the rugby league AFL media, is to say, well, Harry wasn't sure. Harry didn't know. Harry doesn't like the A-League, but he signed on because he felt that he needed to. And now look at his performances. They're rubbish. He doesn't want to be here. I think what Bernie's
Let's
doing,
not speculate on what the rugby league media will do.
Well,
later
we
on.
Know what the rugby league media will do. We had Roy Masters on the Offsiders program, which comes on directly after this podcast. We finished recording this podcast. He was saying that Harry Kewell is busted, Harry Kewell is injured, that he's not the player he once was, which is absolute garbage. In the last few seasons, he's been some of his best form of his whole career. Mm-hmm. And it's just this innate bashing when football's Don Bradman comes home to play in a fledgling A-League and really will put bums on seats.
I've heard he'll get 100 goals in one match.
Yeah, look, and he's done that all throughout his career, and now he's injured, he won't do it.
Is that enough Harry Kewell talk? Pete, your 2 cents in 20 seconds?
Supernova, maybe?
Yeah, no, not today. The ageing Socceroo Harry Kewell is reported to be making 80% of the first $1 million of increased revenue, and then 90% of anything after that. So the deal that he has reportedly have signed with Melbourne Victory, which you're referencing to, that expires on August 31st. So he's right. Got a period of time yep. to think about it, at least. But from the Sydney FC point of view, no one at Sydney FC actually knows anything about this. They're like Dirk Melton's still on the phone every day saying, oh, yeah, hey, what's happening? Have you thought about this? Have you thought about this?
Mm.
So, yeah, it's a really odd situation about what's going on. I don't have any more insider information there, unfortunately.
It's very interesting that you've raised that, though. That I'm quite impressed that Dirk Melton has taken this official channels approach rather than going into the media and vomiting a bunch of information
exactly.
forward. So that
And that is something which Bernie Mandich will respect
exactly.
hugely.
Exactly.
Because if...
Because that's his job.
Yeah, no, but yeah. The thing is, like, if you want to sign a player, you try and just do it with the player. You
it's
don't
like,
try and sign the
exactly.
media.
It's like lobbying. It's like lobbying for change in politics. If you go, at the point of agreement, just before, if you go and say to the media the details of every single arrangement, there's going to be no respect because that's commercial in confidence. And now we've got this issue where Melbourne Victory have been talking about every single minutia detail of that agreement. But it's going to be interesting to see what happens in the next week, and we hope that it comes to an end in the next week.
We very much do. All right, we're going to maybe have a little break, go and grab a coffee, another one. Or
maybe some more poached eggs.
Oh, maybe a bathroom break.
Yeah, oh.
<I don't know.
laughs> And we'll be back after this one.
For the latest news, opinion, match reports, and for more on the A-League, head to our website at thefootballsack.com.
Oh, I misinterpreted how short that break was. I thought it was a bit longer. I started to go to the bathroom. I had to turn back.
No, you didn't move, you lazy bastard. You're just sitting there. You've just been lying there. And
stop
you're...
ruining the... This is the power of radio. I can tell these guys, I can tell our listeners whatever, and they have to believe it until you ruin it.
I've got some pictures of you, mate, and they're going on Twitter, and they're going to expose the truth. The truth that is the Sunday lazy show.
I've got photos on Facebook already,
oh,
just so you know. So.
All right.
At least I'm well-dressed. That's yeah. just... All right. Let's have some fun.
It was a little while ago. We found it on YouTube. It was 2009, 2010.
An Indian has come out on YouTube. Hasn't he? Hey, hey.
Sorry, what?
He came out on YouTube. Go with me. With a video of his Arsenal endeavours. He loves Arsenal.
He does love Arsenal. To the point where it kind of gets ridiculous.
Too ridiculous.
He sings songs that I don't even think any Gunner fan has ever sung in their life.
Can you bring them up, Pete?
Yeah, here we go. Enjoy.
Good old Arsenal, we are proud to say that name. When we sing this song, we will win the game. Good old Arsenal, good old
Don't sing
Arsenal.
It.
When we are proud to say that name. When
Wow, there's an interesting one as well there. It's a Jingle Bells chant.
Yeah, later on he gets into it, doesn't he?
Jingle all the way.
Oh, what fun it is to be at Emirates today. Or something of that order.
Let's see if we can find it.
Jingle bell, jingle bell, jingle all the way. Sunday is our national fun. He is at Emirates today.
The best part about it is actually the vision, because he's holding up a cardboard sign which he's drawn Arsenal on, and he's bopping up and down, and he's trying not to sing too loudly because I think his parents might be telling him to keep it down. But it's amazing how football fandom displays itself around the world.
We need that in Australia.
Maybe not that.
I can't even say that with a straight face.
Maybe not that. I mean, really, that was something that probably didn't add a lot to football. But
all right, let's move on to a serious issue. Boys, a serious issue. It was the census this week. We put a call out because we've stumbled across this amazing religion, haven't we? And we just wanted to share it with you guys and get you on board and possibly, just possibly, make it a real 100% legitimate religion.
Or so, something at least to rival the Jedi's.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm sure Sakism, with the religion that we're spruiking, or that we were spruiking for the census, I'm pretty sure one of the rules is that you carry a lightsaber, so you might be able to rival Jedi's.
Well, that's right. If failing that, a football, and you merely kick it, and then you feel the passion of football. And is you might sing a song like Good Old Arsenal.
Is that what happened to you? Because you've got an injury on your nose.
Yeah.
Did you put Sakism or Jedi on your...
I put Sakism down.
Do it.
But then in a game yesterday, like Art Saints, my team in the Sydney Amateur League, against a team called Ecuador, who you guessed it are all a bunch of Ecuadorians.
Ecuadorian ball, Jedis.
Yeah, that's right. Well, a ball was chipped over. I didn't even see it. A ball was chipped over, and I was in the defensive line, and on my right-hand side is an Irishman, and nobody wants that, admittedly, at the best of times. And it was 50-50. The ball went past. There was a striker getting in behind. So I committed, he committed. I committed, admittedly, with my head, and he committed with his foot.
And I think he used Force Lightning on your nose.
My nose is pretty massive right now. And I for a few moments, I went to the dark side. It wasn't my finest moment on a football pitch. My
question, did they actually have cookies?
Did they have cookies?
Did the dark side have cookies?
No. The dark side involved me yelling at an Irishman, telling him what on effing hell he was doing.
What's the cookies reference?
Have you guys never actually seen that t-shirt that says, "Come to the dark side, we have cookies"?
No.
Okay, cool.
Pete's
just
going
me.
Supernova on his own over there.
Yeah.
It's cheeky right. Supernova.
We'll
this
come
time
back
around.
To Pete goes supernova in a moment. Sakism. If you haven't already liked it on Facebook, jump online. Facebook.com/thefootballsack. There's a link there to our Sakism religion.
Yep.
And if you haven't filled out your census form yet,
you're a bit late.
No, you've got until September 5, because I will admit that I haven't done it yet.
Ooh.
Does the government want to know this?
You should do it early. Shame. Shame.
I will get on that. All right.
I'm sure you will.
Let's move on. To all the Sakites out there, thank you for putting Sakism on your religion box on the census form. Next census, in 5 years' time, it'll be bigger and better. Matt Mackay. He is moving, we have heard, to Glasgow Rangers from Brisbane Roar. It's all but signed, sealed, delivered. Rochek.
That's my name. Check. Listen, he's going to sign soon, pending a visa. And the deal is that having played 70% of the last X number of internationals, which he has, that it should be a done deal. Look, we can't begrudge him for wanting to sign for a big club abroad. He's been a humble servant to the Brisbane Roar for a number of years, and certainly was at the centre of everything last season. And it'll be a shame to see him go, but it'll also be a good move for him. We hope in a developmental sense. I mean, he's 28, but you know, Rangers not known for their silky
youth.
Yeah, and their silky, you know, Barcelona style play at all. I mean, Brisbane Roar probably play a better style of football.
So do you think he will go over there and possibly improve their game? I would hope.
Well, maybe. I mean, what Matt Mackay will learn from it is how to play in front of a big crowd and with a lot of pressure. The A-League experience.
He should know that, knowing from the grand final, the Socceroos matches that he's played. He's played in front of some big crowds there. Yeah. But I guess week in, week out
exactly.
is the difference.
Precisely. It's the... the weight of expectation of one half of a city in Glasgow and the media, the intense scrutiny. It's very different to how the A-League is reported here. Mm. And it's something, look, Brisbane had a lot of pressure on themselves to win the league and to do it undefeated. And basically they got there from one point in the season. The difference in Glasgow is that they're expected to win the league every year.
And I saw that personally when Glasgow Rangers came out a couple of years ago, or was it last year, for the Festival of Football?
Last year, yeah.
Last year.
The amount of Scottish journalists in the press box, there was about five or six of them in the press box that travelled with the team.
Mm.
Just, isn't that great that the journalists come out and they support? So, and they were quite critical of Glasgow Rangers.
Absolutely, and that's the type of scrutiny you see everywhere in the world in a league's best team. Mm. And there's no doubt that Rangers and Celtic are that. You'd see that if Barcelona came out here, you'd see La Marca come out, you'd see all the newspapers that cover European football. And you'd certainly see that with Japanese. You've seen that with Japanese teams coming out. Mm. And it's no different. The pressure will be on Matt Mackay as a pivotal player to really put in some shifts.
In that central role, definitely. My question is that, good on Matt Mackay for that personal level. For Brisbane Roar, the boys on the Friday show did talk about this a little bit, that Brisbane Roar's system of play is such that they don't rely on any one player. But Matt Mackay is not just one player. He's one, the captain, and he's two, possibly their best player.
Mm.
How will this impact them? Will they be able to play the same level of football this season with a few different names as well? Because it's not reported on too much that they are losing players, but every so often they do lose a player.
Mm. Absolutely. Giancarlo Salazano, Matt Mackay, Costas Barbarousis. The list is starting to get quite big.
It is, isn't it?
And when you look at their main rival, Central Coast Mariners, and the people, they've actually brought players in. They haven't lost them.
No,
even when a big player has come and signed somewhere else, in Mustafa Amini, they're still there for another year.
Yeah, and they've managed to retain him, and that's a good thing.
Yeah.
Most of their team, I believe, they've even signed Pellegrino to back up that loss of Patricio Perez.
Mm-hmm.
There's an article on Perez and Amini on the Football Sack, so if you do want to read about him, some really great writer has written that.
Yeah, that was a scribe. That was it's a beautiful perfect, piece of writing. Yeah. Look, and Central Coast have players who are developing and who are maturing. Bernie Abeniese is one that I'm really keen to see, to the extent that he keeps Matt Simon out, who I think shouldn't be in an A-League club. He's hopeless.
Not anymore.
Yeah. I mean, a few years ago, yeah, for sure. But the style of players developed, and I think Matt Simon is probably a player who embodies that.
Especially at Central Coast and Brisbane Roar. Yeah. We hope, I mean, it's been said plenty of times, but we hope the rest of the A-League teams step up to the level of these two standouts in Roar and Mariners.
Yeah, I think Sydney and Melbourne are going to have strong seasons again this year. They've recruited well, and there are some players there and some structures in place that are really going to hopefully bear fruit at this stage. Mehmet Drakovic is going to have some interesting times in his first season. He's got some strong personalities to deal with. Certainly Hernandez is somebody who they've dealt with pretty quickly. Melbourne Heart are going to come on. They've had their second season and they've really built some strong foundations. Scott Munn has been excellent. And then I think Adelaide United are going to be a very strong side this year as well.
The Football Sack at the moment is doing a whole heap of interviews, of exclusive interviews with players. And I just spoke about one with the coach, Graham Arnold. But yourself, Michael, you interviewed Carol Kissel. It was the first interview that he did in Australia since coming back to... No, well, that's confirmed. You're looking at me going, no, I'm not sure if that's true. But no, it is.
You're whispering not sure. Because it is confirmed.
Because he was,
Sydney
he was
FC confirmed that.
Right. Well, he was interviewed by Sebastian Hassett, but perhaps he wasn't in the country yet at that stage.
You. It was like 4 seconds after you.
Well, yeah, I mean, look, Carol, interesting guy, very much a player who Sydney relied upon very strongly in that double-winning season. He's come back. It was great to speak to him because I actually had the pleasure of seeing his first match at Slavia Prague. By sheer coincidence, I was there to see family and I turned up for the game. He was a player in the match. He scored the first goal and I said, that guy looks reasonably familiar. I've seen that celebration before, yeah. And that hair looks very familiar too. It's Carol Kissel.
Let's hope that he can bring some of those goal-scoring ways that he had over there back to Sydney. A few other interviews that we've got at the moment. Mate Duganjic from Scott Condon. He's going to be interviewing Azaka Cernak as well.
Great.
And there's going to be plenty others as well throughout the off-season, this intensively long off-season. So we thought we'd fill it with some exclusive interviews on the Football Sack. So check that out when it's there.
Talking about Carol Kissel before we move away for a split sec, Sydney FC did actually have a friendly against St. George during the week, which they won 3-0. Carol Kissel played the entire 90 minutes in that centre of midfield. And if that 90-minute performance is anything to go by, he will definitely be a star player for Sydney FC this season.
That's interesting to know he played in the centre of midfield.
Mm. Yep, centre of midfield.
It's going to be good because Stuart Michalek's gone and he probably didn't fit the system very well. He himself mentioned that he didn't quite like Levitska's style and he's moved to Graham Arnold and Graham Arnold's going to have a very attacking style. But look, in this off-season during the season, the Football Sack's in a very interesting position. We have the space to have these profile feature pieces, whereas a lot of the other mainstream publications don't. Sydney Morning Herald does it on occasion when there's a slow news day in rugby league, or you know, and the Age do it reasonably well because they support the Melbourne Victory and Melbourne Heart quite well. But the Football Sack, we've got a good relationship with media managers at clubs, and we're going to have a very strong focus on that going forward. It's going
to
be great.
And if you actually have a player that you would like us to have a chat to, find out what his favourite song is or what he likes to eat at
we'll ask
time,
the tough questions.
Yeah, we'll get all the tough questions answered for you.
Yep.
Pete.
Yes.
Just before we go on to your rant that I hope you've prepared.
I have a rant?
While we take a break, Rojek.
Supernova.
Sydney FC.
Yes.
Before we move on, they've released their strips.
Yes,
finally,
they have.
And their memberships.
Yes, they have.
Just a quick...
plenty of photos.
Here's the game.
Yep.
A quick check or no check on the strip.
Check.
Check.
Check. It's quite good, isn't it?
Yeah.
They look amazing.
We like it.
Honestly, they have to be the best kit in the league. They really are ridiculously amazing. The away kit is absolutely beautiful. Black with the blue pinstripe. Oh, so good. I'm drooling on the mic here right now.
Yeah.
It's kind of scary. If you also look at Wellington Phoenix, they also released their kit this week. They are also with Adidas, which everyone already knew, but they couldn't actually announce it. Their new kit is... basically a replica of Hull City. All they've done is take off the Hull City logo, put on Wellington Phoenix, and there it is. So, look, it's also a really, really good kit.
I think what we're going to do for you on the Football Sack is collate all the images of the kits around the A-League and put them together for you to find in one source.
Oh, I'll make a collage.
Nice.
Yay.
The only thing that's left with that Sydney FC jersey before we move on is the shirt sponsor. There wasn't one, and it looked a bit empty. It's a nice-looking jersey. But the absence of a shirt sponsor is one that is an interesting one.
Will you buy it before the kit gets a sponsor or after?
I'd like to get it afterwards. I think it looks more legitimate with something there. It's a bit empty at the moment. It's a bit like a club jersey.
All right, to finish us off with the show, Pete, go Supernova. I hope you might have a rant. Go with the Supernova rant now, Pete. Yes.
I don't actually have a rant.
Well,
you
that
guys,
was such a, such
you guys
suspense.
Can have like a lazy Sunday, so can I. Look, okay, what I will actually talk about is New Caledonia coming across to Gold Coast to play two friendlies. Why New Caledonia and why are they playing?
You do realize that's a tradition. They've done that for the past 2 years.
Yeah, I know, but why? Anyway,
that's the reason.
Well,
yeah,
Christian,
the past couple
Christian,
of years.
Yeah. That's like it. Anyway, look, okay, Zelko Kalic has also signed as the goalkeeper coach for Sydney FC, kicking out John Fillon. We don't know why John's actually left, but okay, Zelko is in for a new job. Speaking to him on Wednesday night, he's very excited for the job, and I'm more interested to find out how Liam Reddy's betting and his... enjoy it, how much fun he has at the pub.
Are you alleging that Liam Reddy is a better? Because there's been some massive scandals in other codes about betting on games.
Oh well, I'm not saying anything, but like he could always get some coaching
for
off field.
Won't go on the record and say that Football Sack in no way endorses Pete Novakovsky's comments. these allegations are unfounded. And,
that's why we're sponsored by Betfair.
Yeah,
we're not even alleging them.
Yeah.
All right, that was an interesting supernova. Pete goes supernova rant there.
Ending music. There you go.
The outro. Okay.
Cool. Yeah, it was not really worthy of really. That outro yeah. of your rant
Thank
slash
you.
Non-rant.
Yeah, I'll have a better rant next
Please,
next week.
Please do. You had the whole show as well. All right, that about wraps up the Football Sack podcast for our Lazy Sunday. The Sack on Sunday. What a good name. Thank you, listeners, for all the contributions, all the ideas that you put forward. There were some interesting ones there as well. The Sunday Sack, the Sack on Sunday, interchangeable. We may mix them up depending on how we feel like.
Sounds good.
Thank you very much, Michael Rocek.
Thank you, guys, and enjoy your Sundays.
Supernova, just be better next time.
Bastard.
Just be more Supernova.
I'll try. See you, dudes. Bye.
That was the Football Sack podcast. If you haven't already, subscribe on iTunes to stay up to date with all of the football action across Australia.